That's what we are called to do, is to earnestly contend for the faith. And many times there's many groups around that have false doctrines, false beliefs, and we need to refute those by God's word. Let me read to you once again just what we looked at this morning. Listen to Joseph Smith in the introduction to the Book of Mormon. I quote him, he says, "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion. And a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book." Now, Joseph Smith's statement that the Book of Mormon is more correct than any other book on earth makes two errors. Error number one, if the Book of Mormon is the most correct book of any book on earth, then that is placing the Book of Mormon above the Bible. That's error number one. And remember what we saw this morning. If you place any book on the same level as the Bible, eventually you're going to leave off the Bible and that other book is going to come up, what we saw in Mark 7. Let's turn there for just a moment. Mark chapter 7. There is no book we can put on the same level as the Bible because any book can be proven wrong eventually on any subject. Man has lots of theories, lots of ideas. But remember, Mark 7, this is a very important passage to have written somewhere so you can find it again. Mark 7, 7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines." And remember, doctrine means teaching, Bible teaching. "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do." And he said in them full well, "You reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." So notice the line of digression there. First of all, in verse 7, they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. So it's putting something on the same level as the Bible. Then verse 8, it's then laying aside the commandments of God, laying aside the Bible. Then verse 9, it's then rejecting the commandment of God, rejecting the Bible. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect. And that's what happens. And remember this morning I read to you the quote, "The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible." That's what it says in the introduction to the Book of Mormon. It says, "The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible." But as we saw this morning, it doesn't claim to be part of the Old Testament, doesn't claim to be part of the New Testament. It claims to be another Testament. And we saw this morning how that is not correct. So error number two, if the Book of Mormon is the most correct book of any book upon earth, then that means the Bible must have errors in it. If the Book of Mormon, he said, let me read his statement again. This is Joseph Smith. I quote, "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth." If that's true, then the Bible has to have errors in it. If the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth, then it's above the Bible, according to him. And that means, you know, if you have two tests that are 100%, which test is the most correct? Neither. They're both correct. If they're correct, they're correct. Ask our teachers. You know? If it's 100%, it's 100%. One test isn't more correct than another. They're both correct. So by Joseph Smith stating the Book of Mormon is the most correct book of any book upon earth, that is stating that the Bible has errors in it. And the two Jehovah's Witness young men at my door said that. They believe the Bible has errors in it. That's what they believe. Even though they claim to believe the Bible is an authority, they'll readily say they believe it has errors in it. So, and that is on the first page of the Book of Mormon. The introduction. Open the cover. First page. Introduction. The sixth paragraph says that. And I talked to these two young Mormon men, and they insisted that they had read the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and they did not see any contradiction between the two. And I opened it up. Well, actually, I didn't even have to open it. I told you this morning. I saw a contradiction right on the cover. And then I open it up in the sixth paragraph. There's this paragraph saying, the Book of Mormon is the most correct book of any book upon earth, and that is not a contradiction to Scripture. My, oh my. Well, let's see what the Bible says about itself. Proverbs 30. I hope you've got these, actually there's two verses here. I hope you'll get these down, and next time some liberal preacher on the radio or TV or someplace you are tries to intimidate you because you don't know Greek or Hebrew, I pray you'll remember these two verses. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew to know what God has said. Just read your English Bible. You'll know. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. What's the first word? Every word of God is what? Pure. How can Joseph Smith say the Book of Mormon is the most correct book of any book on earth when the Bible says every word of God is pure? How can you get more pure than pure? You can't. It's either pure or it's impure. If I had a glass of water up here and put one drop of poison in it, would you drink it? No. Brother Hovind talked about decon. What is it, 99% good food and just that little bit poison? You know what? It'll kill the mice. I guess if you have the rat stuff, it'll kill the rats too. Just a tiny little bit. I don't think you'd want to try to find the pure molecules in that glass of water, would you? I wouldn't. The whole thing's corrupt. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every one of these new translations of the Scripture, we just compare the English with the English, and we find that they're liars. They've added to the word of God, and they will be found to be a liar. And so will Joseph Smith. Psalm 12. He's added a whole other testament to the Bible, apart from the Bible. Psalm 12. The Bible says it is the pure, perfect word of God. For a man to come along and say, I've got this book, and it's more correct than any book upon earth, why couldn't people see that is a contradiction to what the Bible claims? Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. How much purer can you get than pure? The words of the Lord are pure words. If they're the tiniest percentage impure, then they wouldn't be pure words. They would be impure. But the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them. How long? Okay, from this generation forever. So, God promises to preserve his pure word from that generation forever. Let's look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. How could anyone come along with a book, religious book, claim it's from God, and say it's more correct than any other book on earth? And then people say, well, I don't see any contradiction between that and the Bible. You don't? Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Are you sure that doesn't say almost perfect? No, it says perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. How much more perfect can you get than perfect? Is there anyone in here that's perfect? No. We are all imperfect. You may be more perfect than me, but we're still all imperfect. We still all have faults, lots of them. But the Bible, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what? Are you sure you're sure? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. You know what? I like what Brother Beard said. He said if he didn't have the pure word of God without error, he wouldn't be in the Philippines. And you know what? If we didn't have the pure word of God, I wouldn't be on no parade float. If we didn't have the pure word of God, I wouldn't stand on no corner looking like a fool. You know what? I'd forget it. I'd stay home. But you know what? We can stand up and give out this word because it's sure. Because it's pure. And you know what? By Joseph Smith's own admission, he said, the most correct of any book on earth. He said, the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. Do you realize that isn't even claiming perfection? The most correct? He didn't say, the Book of Mormon is without error. He just said, it's the most correct. Our teachers could correct some tests. And a student could get a 98. And they could say, this is the most correct test that anyone took here today. But you know what? It wouldn't be totally right. It's only 98% correct. It's still 2% incorrect. So even his statement shows his unsurety, insecurity, something, anyway, that it's not, he's not totally sure even of his own book. We'll get to that. You know why? I'll tell you, I won't get to it tonight, but you know what? The Book of Mormon is by his own admission, like the Reader's Digest. Do you know the Book of Mormon, by their own words, it's just a condensation of their plates. What do you call that word? Is it abridged? Abridged? Abridged is shortened, right? Unabridged is the full thing. Like, if you have the unabridged works of someone, you'll have all of the volumes. But if you have an abridged work, it's condensed. The Reader's Digest, for years and years, has taken articles and books and condensed them, abridged them down to fit in their little magazine. And by his own admission, the Book of Mormon is an abridgment. And I'll show you that, right? Their own words, that it's not, you know, he claimed to have found these plates of these prophets, you know, this scripture, but he didn't even give the full thing. The Book of Mormon is an abridgment of that. We're going to look at that too in the future here. So it's nothing but a Reader's Digest. That's all it is. But we see here in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. How can he have a more correct book when the law of the Lord is perfect? How can the Book of Mormon be the most correct book upon the earth when the Bible says, the Bible is, the law of the Lord is perfect. How can you have something more correct than that? You can't. It says it's sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. I asked these two Mormon young men at my door if they were absolutely certain they were going to heaven when they die. They were not. Why? Because it depends upon their works. That's part of it. Their works. They have to continue on. They're giving 2 years of their lives for missionary service. And then they can do what they want after that. You know, that's like making brownie points with God. You know, I put in my 2 years, but you know what, after that, if they quit living for God, then they think that that's it. It's gone. But no, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are what? Right. Are you sure they're right? The statutes of the Lord are right. Is the question right or wrong? Right or wrong? The statutes of the Lord are right. How can you have something more correct than right? You can't. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. Once again, it's pure. How can you be more pure than pure? You can't. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is what? Clean. Clean. Fear the Lord is clean. If there's any smudge in it, if there's any corruption in the Word of God, then it wouldn't be clean. But it is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. How can you be more correct than true? If you speak the truth, how can you be more correct than that? You can't. If you speak the truth, it's the truth. You can't be more correct than truth. So these are just some verses here. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 160. Psalm 119, 160. Joseph Smith said his book was the most correct of any book upon earth. That would supersede the Bible. That's not a contradiction to the Bible. Yes, it is a contradiction to the Bible. Psalm 119, 160. The Bible says thy word is what? True from the beginning. Okay, well, that's from the beginning. Well, what about now? Well, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth how long? Forever. It's true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. What about Isaiah 40, verse 8? Isaiah 40, verse 8. You know what our problem is many times in Baptist churches? We want to sit and hear stories. We want to be entertained. And you know what? That is why these cultists put us to shame. That's why they put us to shame when they're at our door or we see them somewhere else. They've got all the answers right down, just like that, and we don't. We might be able to tell a funny story that the preacher said, or a joke, you know, that the preacher said. It was really funny. But do we know what we believe? Too many times they put us to shame. We don't know where to find it, but they do. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand how long? Forever. It won't fade. Matthew 24, Matthew 24. It's so important we know what we believe. Why is it sometimes young people grow up and they get out of church? Or they change to some false church? Why? The bottom line is they really didn't have in their heart what they believed. They didn't know from the Bible how to prove it, and they were led astray. That's why. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall what? Not pass away. This book is more sure than the ground your feet are on, the cement your feet are on. This word is more sure than the pew you're sitting on, because everything's going to be consumed. This earth is going to be consumed by fire. It's going to melt with fervent heat at God's word. It's going to melt, but not this Bible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know what our problem is, really? We're lazy. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be what? Shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These cultists put us to shame, really, because we're lazy. We don't study like we need to. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And let me just say this. I so much appreciate you ladies and the way you were dressed yesterday on that float. God bless you. You know, I saw a float come in. Somebody pointed it to my attention and said on their float, it says, come as you are. I didn't see how people were dressed on that one. It was out of my sight. But I did see another church float that was a ways over from us. And I did see how they were dressed. And, you know, God bless you ladies just for your modest, godly dress. And we're living in a day where there is deceivers and people being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scriptures. If something is holy, can there be error in it? God is holy. Is there any error with Him? The Bible says here that it's the Holy Scriptures. which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How could you be made perfect by something that's imperfect? You can't. Use something that's tainted. Try to make a perfect cake that has one drop of gasoline in it. I wouldn't suggest putting it in the oven right away, but even somehow, if you could get it cooked, you know what? You would taste that gas. Just one drop of gas amidst all that milk and water, eggs, flour, and whatever else you throw in there. Just one drop is going to taint it. How could, verse 17, the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, if the Bible is not totally correct, totally pure? How can the Book of Mormon be more correct than the Bible? That means the Bible would have errors. We've looked at all these verses. I open the Book of Mormon on the first page, in the sixth paragraph down, I find Joseph Smith making this statement that his book is the most correct of any book upon earth. That is saying that the Bible has errors in it. Are you telling me that is not a contradiction to all the verses we've seen? The Bible claims to be pure from the beginning to the end, for every generation. So, and yet the two Mormon fellows say, hey, we've read the Bible, we've read the Book of Mormon, we don't see any contradiction. It's funny, I open it and on the first page I find that. But for some reason, I guess they're not really looking too hard. Not looking too hard. So, let me read once again his statement. Joseph Smith said, I quote, "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth." Now let me ask you something. Joseph Smith claims to be a prophet. All right, what about all the other prophets? Did they talk that way about the other prophets? When Peter came along, did he say, "God has given me the most correct of any book on earth"? First and Second Peter, it's it. Vote for me, folks. I am number one. Forget that Paul. You know, he's gone to the Gentiles anyway. You know, that's his lowly office. I am the apostle of the Jew. Fact is, God used me first to reach the Gentiles anyway. So, you know, forget about little Paul there. That's not the way you see true prophets talk, write in the Scripture at all. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The fact of the matter is even Peter didn't understand everything that God used Paul to write. But you know what? Peter did not criticize Paul's writings and saying, well, yeah, that Paul, you know, you've got to have a translator with you to even understand what he's saying. That's not the way Peter talked. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our what? Beloved brother Paul. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the what? Wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things what? Hard to be understood. Peter was even saying, you know what? Some of the things God has used Paul to write are hard to understand. But you know what Peter didn't do? He didn't say, well, you know, that must be a scribal error, you know. I'm sure Paul didn't say that because I can't understand that. I'm sure whoever was writing for Paul that day, made a scribal error. No. He said some things that he's written are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. The word rest has that idea of bending, taking a steel rod and just bending it, twisting it. So the unlearned and unstable rest, they bend the scripture, they twist it to give it their own meaning. And if you've ever talked to a cultist, you know exactly what I'm saying is true. Every verse of scripture you throw at them, they've got a bend to it, a twist to it, so as it doesn't really mean what it says. It means this. They always have a twist to it. And so Peter didn't criticize Paul's writings. He just said those that are unlearned and unstable don't accept this as the pure word of God. But he says, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the who? The wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not, you'll never find one prophet, one true prophet, criticizing another true prophet. In this case, when things are hard to understand, what you find is Peter is being used of God to say, beware of those who twist the scripture. Beware of them. Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The fact of the matter is this. Peter never said that his writings were more correct than Paul's. Paul never said that his writings were more correct than James. James never said his writings were more correct than David. David said never said his writings were more correct than Moses. And yet, Joseph Smith comes along on the scene and says, the Book of Mormon is more correct than any book upon earth. That is saying the Bible has errors in it. If his is more correct, that's not a contradiction to Scripture. Notice the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1 and 16. This is how a true prophet spoke of other true prophets. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more, what? Sure word of prophecy. Well, what is this, Peter? He'll tell us just a minute. A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of the what? Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but, what's the next four words? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. When Joseph Smith says, this book that I give you, the Book of Mormon, is more correct than any book upon earth, how can he say that when Peter was saying, God gave the scripture to holy men of old, and it was given, verse 21, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How could the Holy Ghost give incorrect information to these holy men of old? He would not. He's holy. He's the Holy Ghost. And he would be the unholy ghost if he gave incorrect information for these men of God to write down. God doesn't make mistakes. So, like I said, the first page, open the Book of Mormon, the first page, sixth paragraph, about halfway down the page, Joseph Smith makes this statement. I quote, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion. And a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book. My friends, how can anyone read that and say it doesn't contradict the Bible? A person can't get nearer to God by reading the Book of Mormon than this book. We just read in this book in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that by reading this book, we can be the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And yet he's saying he comes along almost 2,000 years later than Jesus Christ and says he has another testament, another will that's more correct than any scripture. And by reading his book, you can get nearer to God than any other book. That's what he said. And a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts, the Book of Mormon, than any other book. My friends, how could anyone read that and not say there's a contradiction between that and the Bible? It's beyond me. It's beyond me. You know what? Jesus is God in the flesh. What did he say about the prophets when he was on earth? Did he come along and say, hey, excuse me, I am God, God in the flesh. The words that I give you are more correct than any other prophet has ever given you. Did Jesus say that? No, he did not. Look in Matthew 5. He said far from that. But Joseph Smith said that. Joseph Smith come on the scene saying, the words that I'm giving you, the book that I'm giving you, are more correct than any other book, any other prophets. Even Jesus himself did not say such a thing. You know why? Because holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. You can't get any more correct than that. God gave his word. You can't get any more correct than that. You can't improve that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the what? The law or the what? The prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be what? Fulfilled. What fulfilled? What the prophets prophesied. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them what? What the prophet said, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Even Jesus Christ himself did not make such a statement as Joseph Smith. When Jesus come along, he did not say, here I am, I'm God. My words are more correct than anything you've ever read from the prophets. No, he come along saying, what the prophet said is correct, and every jot and tittle is going to be fulfilled. Down to the smallest point is going to be fulfilled. That's the opposite of what Joseph Smith said. The opposite. If there was ever a time in the Bible when it would have been the right time to correct, if there was any scribal errors in the Bible, you know, that had crept into the prophets, any scribal errors, any corruptions in the text that had crept in, if anything had crept in that wasn't right, this would have been the time for Jesus Christ to say, you know what? There's been some problems creep into the text. And, I think it's time to correct this problem. You know, I am God, I am here, And, these things, have crept in and are not right. So, I'm going to set them straight. I gave my word correct, but, over time, these things crept in. So, okay, I'm going to straighten out all these errors that you'll find in the Bible. No, that's not what he did. He said, verse 18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus, right here, put his stamp upon all of the scripture that had been given before he stood right here, was saying, it's all correct. It's all without error. Every jot, every tittle is correct. Nothing is out of place. He put his stamp on it right here. His stamp. So, if there ever would have been a time, if there was errors, all these modern translations say, well, in this Old Testament passage, well, that number over there in Chronicles doesn't line up with this number. Generalized right here would have been the time Jesus could have said, there's some errors crept in there. But he didn't. He put his stamp of approval upon it all. So, Jesus used this occasion to confirm the scripture. So, if Jesus himself at this point did not say, my words are more correct than anything that's been given thus far, if Jesus himself did not say that, who is Joseph Smith to come along with another testament and claim that thing? And let me ask you this, why would anyone believe him? If Jesus Christ himself didn't come along saying that, why should we believe Joseph Smith? Well, obviously, we should not. True prophets always had the highest regard for other true prophets. Notice with me in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to who? Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know what? Daniel believed Jeremiah that 70 years. And you know what? He was a contemporary. There wasn't no council convened and said, okay, well, let's see. Now, which books are scripture? We need to convene this big council of all these different big shots, and decide what is scripture. No. Daniel was over in Babylon. Jeremiah was back in Jerusalem. Jeremiah's writings were given to Daniel way over in Babylon. They were gotten there somehow, taken there somehow. And Daniel regarded his writing as scripture. And when he read the book of Jeremiah and saw that God told him that 70 years, Israel was going to be captive 70 years. You know what Daniel didn't say? Jeremiah's writings aren't as correct as mine, and God didn't give me that information. That's not the way Daniel treated it. Daniel regarded Jeremiah's writings as scripture. And by faith, he believed what God had used Jeremiah to write. Paul didn't criticize other prophets. Notice with me in Galatians 3. We'll wrap this up here in just a second. Galatians chapter 3. Paul didn't come along. God used Paul to write a huge percentage of the New Testament. So did Paul come along and say, I'll have you know that my writings are more correct than anything Peter wrote. After all, do you forget? I had to correct, Peter in front of all these people. That's not the way Paul treated Peter or the other apostles. Notice in Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So he's referring back to the scripture. He's not saying, well, you know, God has revealed things to me that was not made known in other ages, so my writings are more correct. No. Was it a fact that God did reveal things to Paul that were not revealed in other times? Yes, that is a fact. Facts about the church, which the prophets in the Old Testament could not foresee. But you know what? Paul never stood up boastfully and said, my writings are more correct than their writings. Right here, he held their writings in the highest regard as truth. So, Joseph Smith also said that his book, the Book of Mormon, was the keystone of our religion. A keystone, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, is the wedge-shaped piece at the crown of an arch. Have you went by a building that has brick on it or stone? And sometimes they'll set out the brick, or sometimes they'll put marble or other things kind of as a header over a window, like an arch. And they'll have a piece shaped like this. And the weight of gravity is pulling in. And that key-shaped piece is an important piece there, holding everything. If you take the key-shaped piece out, it's going to fall. You'll see those in arches sometimes as well. Joseph Smith said the Book of Mormon is the keystone of the faith. The keystone. Let me ask you something. Did any writer of Scripture ever say that his book was the keystone of the faith? Did any prophet come along and say, my book is the keystone? No. Every true prophet will only give that position to Jesus Christ. And him alone. Look in Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. Is that not a contradiction to Scripture? To say that the Book of Mormon is the keystone of the faith? That without the Book of Mormon, the faith collapses? That's what Joseph Smith said. That's not what the true prophets said. Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. How God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, Jesus, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before to God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to him, who? Jesus. To him give all the who? Prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. He's telling us here that all the prophets, Jeremiah didn't come along and say, my book, the book of Jeremiah, is the keystone of the faith. You take away my book and your whole faith crumbles. No prophet ever said such a thing. Because there's only one keystone. There's only one cornerstone. It's Jesus Christ. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. You know what that is? To say, everything revolves around my book. That would be pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we'll close with this passage here, Acts 4, verse 10. Acts 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the what? The stone. Who's the stone? Jesus Christ, which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the what? The head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in what? Any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No prophet ever said the faith resides upon me, friends. If you forsake me and what I have written, you'll be lost for all eternity. It all resides on me. If you don't accept my book, you'll spend eternity in hell. The prophets didn't say that. They pointed to Jesus, not to themselves. Was God using them to write the pure word of God? Yes, he was, but they never pointed to themselves. They were just the instruments. They were not the focus. They were not the head. They were not the headstone, the cornerstone, or the keystone. That position is Jesus Christ and him alone. Joseph Smith comes along and says, my book, the Book of Mormon, is the keystone of the faith. That is a contradiction to what the Bible clearly teaches. Well, you just wonder, you wonder how people get led away into such error. And, I mean, you think of these deluded young men walking around, giving 2 years of their lives for what? They admit they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. That will be decided, they say, when they stand before God. They're not sure. Why are they not sure? Because they don't really have this sure word. By their own admission, they told me they believe there are errors in this book. So they're taking a man's book, a man who boastfully claims to be, his book is more important than this. And may God help us to reach these people. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And we thank you that when he was here upon earth, he did not correct the Bible. He commended it. He came along to say that every word of it must be fulfilled. He did not come along saying many words need to be corrected in it. He came along saying every jot and tittle will be fulfilled. It's that true. It's that correct. Lord, give us discernment and wisdom. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us. We're so lazy, Lord. We ought to have the answers for these cultists. They are giving their lives to error. And even at the very end, they're not sure of anything, really. Oh, Lord, we have the sure word of God. We have a sure salvation. We have a place reserved in heaven for us. Lord, help us not to be lazy. Help us to study your word. Help us to have the answers to help these deceived people out of that error. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.